This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sevisodi. Malaysian writers of children's stories now have two annual contests to look forward to. In 2010, the Scholastic Asian Book Award, or what we call SABA, was announced. And now there's the Callistro Prize for Children, which, you know, started last year and I think it's in the second year running. With me to tell me more about this prize is Daphne Lee. She's a writer and editor. She's also the member of the organizing committee of the Callistro Prize. Welcome to the show, Daphne.
Thank you, Mira.
It's been ages since we had you on.
That's right. I think 2 years.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Daphne, I'm just to go through what the Callistro Prize really is, and then we'll go on to children and teenagers writing. But how did the whole Callistro Prize come about?
Well, you talked about the Scholastic Asia Book Award, which actually I'm involved in too because I'm editor for Scholastic.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's, in the industry, there is a need. We know that there is a need for more stories with Malaysian content, not just for children, but for adults too. But we also know that we need to start at the children's level,
mm-hmm.
okay, because that's where you start to nurture the love of reading, love of writing.
Right.
The problem, as always, is money. Finding someone who can sponsor a prize, you know, and we were fortunate enough to get David Kirkham on board. Okay, he was the founder of Callistro Consultants, and because of his great love of literature, because he spent a lot of time in Malaysia, he was kind enough to agree to sponsor this prize.
Okay, and this is purely for Malaysian writers?
This is purely for Malaysian writers.
Okay, yes. What was the driving force behind it? I mean, what was David Kirkham, you know, thinking when he decided to do this?
Well, he was approached by actually one of the committee members, okay, who was an all-time friend of his. She's known him for over 30 years. She's a writer herself. And she knew that he loved literature. And she just proposed. She said, you know, if your company has cash to spare, this is a worthy cause for you to support. Would you be interested?
Mm-hmm.
And he got behind it very, very, you know, quickly. He was in full support. And he has allowed us free rein, you know. So we, all he does is supply the prize money. Yeah, everything else about the prize is left to the Malaysians because, rightly, you know, we know what is needed best.
And yeah. The first prize is what, 8,000?
The prize, the total prize money is 10,000. This year, we've decided that the main prize will be 8,000. And then we'll award two prizes of 1,000 each for merit.
Okay. It's in the second year running now. Closing
right.
date, 31st September 2013.
Mm-hmm.
30th September.
Yeah.
But what did you realise from last year's entries? I mean, what came out of it?
Well, because we're a new committee, okay, we don't really have much contact with the previous committee. I personally have not seen last year's entries, although I have seen the work of the twins who actually won the contest.
Okay,
previously, because I'm an editor, so I have seen their work. And if that's anything to go by, it was a very high standard. And I think, more than anything, what this contest did was to tell people out there that we need and we want children's literature with Malaysian content, and to give them some incentive to write this literature.
Okay, but then again, we're a society that doesn't read very much, Daphne.
This is true.
What more write, you know? How do you think you're going to overcome this problem?
Well, I think you have to start somewhere. Okay, I think it's pointless to say, oh, we don't do something, so there's no point trying to encourage it, right? And it's true. I think, you know, the last survey was something like, what, 5 books a year mm-hmm. or even less perhaps. But you'd be surprised. I teach creative writing and, you know, I do get a steady stream of Malaysians who are interested in writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you were saying the twins who won had a very high level of writing. What is it that's required to write children's literature? It's not easy, Daphne.
It isn't easy. And I think some people think that it is literature of a lower level because it's for children, and it's so not true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anything, I think it's even harder to attain a high level when you're writing for young readers. But basically, it's the same sort of thing that you would look for in literature for adults, you know, originality, creativity, believable characters, you know, a plot that is tight, a story that's engaging and interesting, you know. So it's the same sort of thing, really. Mm-hmm.
Just to go through the mechanics, Daphne, who is eligible to participate in this? Is there an age requirement?
18 and above, okay. Because it is definitely a competition for readers who are adults. Okay, it's not a competition for children. It's adults who write for children and teenagers.
Which makes it even more challenging, really. I mean, as you said, originality, creativity is what you're looking for, but you're sort of filling that gap between the child world and the adult world. I mean, one way or another, all children's books have to sort of negotiate that space. How do you do that?
How do I do that personally?
Yeah, I mean, do you write children's books as well?
You know what? I used to. I sort of given up.
Why is that?
It's so difficult.
It is difficult.
I mean, I am extremely interested in children's literature. I love reading, you know, young adult fiction, children's fiction. I've got over 1,000 children's books at home. But as a writer, I prefer writing, you know, for older readers. That's a personal choice, yeah. But as an editor, there's nothing more exciting than sitting down with a raw manuscript that has potential and helping the reader hone it, you know, and get it to be as good as it can be, you know, really. So what was the question again?
How do you fill that gap? It is not easy between the child world and the adult world.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's a gap that needs to be filled, right? As in, it's not a deliberate thing. I think writers who write for children, just as writers who write for adults, they write the stories that they want to tell, okay? And they write it to the best of their ability. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think a good children's fiction writer consciously sets out and thinks, okay, I'm going to write a book for children and ticks off all the boxes. You know, I think that's the wrong way of going about it.
18 years and above, mm-hmm. Do they have to be Malaysian?
They have to be Malaysian. Okay. Yes, they can be living abroad, but they have to be Malaysian.
Okay, so it's not open to anyone else except Malaysians?
That's right. Okay. Unlike the Sabah, the Scholastic Book Award, which is open to all Asians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Has Sabah been very successful and have Malaysians participated in that?
Malaysians have participated and it has been moderately successful. I think on average, each year we get about just under 200 entries, mm-hmm. Yeah, which is not bad for a writing competition.
Yeah.
So
that's for Asians.
That's for Asians.
Asians.
Yeah.
What are you hoping for this year with the entries?
Well, last year, apparently, they got about 40 entries. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're hoping with more coverage, with more publicity, we'll attract more people. Yeah. Yeah, I just feel quite excited to you know, think of what might come in. Yeah, mm-hmm. What kind of stories will come in, yeah.
Why Malaysian stories, Daphne?
Okay.
Many of us live abroad now, you know.
Yeah.
Very globalized world that we live
in. It is, isn't it? But do you remember being young and reading a storybook, and more likely than not, it would be a British or American storybook.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but
Sang Kan Chil was one.
Sang Kan Chil, yeah. But there was also a lot of Enid Blyton and, you know, Louisa May Alcott and Robert Louis Stevenson and stuff like that. I feel that children need to see themselves in stories that they read. You know, what happens when you read a book or you watch TV and you don't see yourself or people like you? I think you start thinking to yourself, am I not important enough? Am I not interesting enough for there to be stories written about me or people like me, you know, or stories filmed about people like me and people, you know, fellow Asians. So I think that's very important. You know, a child might not be able to articulate these thoughts, but I think they internalize them, you know. And it's only a matter of time before you start devaluing yourself, you know. And I don't know whether you've got young children. I've got young children. I teach children. And there's very much the opinion that West is better than East. Mm-hmm. You know, white people are more interesting. Why? Because, look, all the books are written about them. All the TV is about them, you know. So I think we do need to show our side of the story, mm-hmm. you know, and also to allow children and the world to see that Asians have got many stories to tell. It's not always about the exotic young girl mm-hmm. who lives in a sawapadi and, you know, yeah. has to be rescued by some handsome prince, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
So there is a disconnect. Yes. But, you know, just to compare it with entries from Sabah, do you find the other Asian countries, and the other Asian participants, mm-hmm. aside from Malaysia, mm-hmm. seem to be able to connect with their roots better than us?
Well, we have had Malaysian entries as well that have quite effectively, you know, written very believable, very original Asian tales. Yeah, and I feel that they're no different. A good writer will be able to make that connection, you know, and it's just also a matter of encouraging people to tell their stories, you know. I think very often it's, oh, who would be interested in a story like this, you know, and a prize like this, I think, lets people know that, yes, you know, there are people who are interested, there are people who want to help you develop these stories. You know, and there are people who are willing to listen.
Is there a word requirement for the entries?
It's a minimum of 6,000 words okay. per entry.
Is that reasonable for a children's book?
It is. We are thinking of a chapter book, which is like a children's novel. So 6,000 words and up. You could go higher because young adult novels, you know, are as long as adult novels, mm-hmm. you know, so 60,000 words.
Is there a target children's group that we are looking at when, you know, we decide to write these stories? I mean, 6 years, 10 years and below, or 12 years and below, you know? Does it have to come with illustrations?
No. I think last year they opened it up to picture books, mm-hmm. okay? We are not opening up to picture books this year. Picture books, we are interested in writing, okay? We are interested in your literary talent, yeah? So I would say a story for maybe 8 and up, yeah. I'm quite reluctant to give ages because someone's reading level sometimes doesn't really correspond with their age.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it sort of varies. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We're finding out more about the Callistro Prize closing date, 30th September 2013. If you're 18 and above and interested to participate in this competition, you may want to... we'll continue and find out more with Daphne Lee, who's a writer and editor on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sevasudhi. Daphne Lee, who's a writer and editor, as well as the member of the organizing committee of the Callistro Prize with me. We're sort of trying to inspire Malaysians to write. If you are 18 and above, interested in children's literature with the Malaysian content, well, you want to participate in this. You have ample time. Do you think it's ample time, Daphne? I mean, you've got a couple of months left till September 30th.
5 months, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think writers out there usually have something tucked away, you know, that just needs a bit of shaping up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's time. Yeah, that's ample time.
What language does the story have to be in, Daphne?
It's in English.
Only in
yes,
English?
Yes, yeah. Okay. It's only in English.
A submission can be a combination of, as I said, words and illustrations.
No illustrations.
More, only literature.
Yes.
How is the winning piece judged? Okay. And who are the judges?
Okay, we haven't chosen the judges for this year's, yeah. But the judges would have to be writers themselves or editors or people who are very familiar with children's lit, you know. So even a children's lit bookseller who is very passionate about the genre, you know, might be a potential judge,
mm-hmm.
yes. And as I said earlier, the kinds of things we're looking out for is the originality, believable characters, that ability to connect emotionally with the reader, yeah, things like that, really, the same sort of things that you look for in an adult literature prize.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't emphasize creative writing in schools, do we? Not enough. But for someone who's interested to express, how would you suggest they go about doing it?
The national schools?
National schools is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. That's tricky. I've got young children, and I know for a fact they go to national school, and I know for a fact that there is no creative writing done in the schools.
And personally, if you ask me, national school kids are the ones who will be able to relate very much to Malaysian stories.
I think any child can relate to Malaysian stories if they're well written. You know, just as we were able to relate to Enid Blyton and be able to cope with unusual terminology or foreign terminology, I think Malaysian stories, while we are hoping to reach out to Malaysian children, ultimately, if they're written well, can reach out to any child, you know, who's interested in reading a good story, you know, provided the story is written well. But going back to national schools, yes, more time needs to be spent on writing, on reading, actually, because I think writing and reading are very closely linked, you know. So you will never come across a good writer who doesn't read. You know, that's, I think, the best creative writing teacher you can ever hope for is a good book, and to read lots of good books. And that's quite absent in national schools. Teachers don't read to their kids. You know, 5 minutes a day, you know, even 5 minutes a week spent reading them a story, I think would go a long way. Yeah, to getting them interested in reading, getting them interested in stories, and as a result, getting interested in writing stories.
What are the benefits of, you know, writing, the creative writing, would you say?
Oh, there are so many benefits. It helps them express themselves. It gives them confidence. It gives them sort of empathy, you know, because when you're writing about characters, you have to step in someone else's shoes. So it's literally, you know, allowing you to develop your empathic skills. Also, the more mundane stuff would be like to practice language skills, yeah, which I think would appeal to parents. And also to help children see the world in different ways. Yeah, I think so. I think creative writing, it's a gift that, you know, keeps on giving. You will always need it, because in whatever job you have in the future, even if you're not writing fiction, you do need to write, you know. Then there are really rarely any jobs where you don't need some kind of writing skills.
Do you need to be aware of how people are telling stories today? Because it is different. Children these days think differently. They're exposed to a very different kind of world. So do you think that a writer has to be telling stories the way, you know, people live today? Or how people are telling stories today, which is different?
You mean in print?
Yeah.
I don't think it's very different, you know, the way stories are being written. If you look at the literature that's coming out of, you know, the UK and the US, because, I mean, like it or not, those are still the countries we look to, you know, in the publishing industry. The stories that are winning awards, for example, it goes back down to old-fashioned storytelling skills. You know, it's telling a story that captures your imagination, you know, that creating characters that breathe off the page and that you believe in and you engage in and actually invest in and want to follow. Yeah, all those things haven't changed for hundreds of years, I think.
Tan Tuan Eng won the Asian Man Booker Prize. I mean,
yes.
How did you feel about that? I was really proud that, you know, for a nation that hardly reads and writes, he actually won that book
prize. He hardly reads and writes, did
no,
you say?
No, I'm saying for a nation.
Oh, a nation.
That hardly reads and writes.
Yeah.
He would be a really good example as to why Malaysians should embark more on writing.
Yeah. You know, he's a friend of mine, and I like to tease him that he panders a lot to white tastes, you know, writing about very exotic locales and things, you know. And I think it's sometimes that's a tricky road you have to maneuver. You know, you have to ask yourself what you're writing about, who your reader is, you know, what kind of story you're telling, you know, because you can't please everyone all of the time, right? But I think what he's done is amazing, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not exactly what you want to achieve through this competition, though. Very Malaysian stories is what you're looking for.
Yeah, well, I think his stories, both his books, are very Malaysian. Yeah. But probably written in a way that I know a certain reader would really, you know, enjoy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not saying anymore.
I'm not going to ask you if you enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved his second book, actually. Yeah? Tell you the truth, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a follow-through with the winners to sort of improve and refine their writing skills after they've won the Callistro Prize?
Okay, we have the option. If listeners go back and look at the award website, it says that we have first right of refusal for publication. Okay, if we do pick that up, as in if we do decide to publish the books, there will be, of course, editorial input. Yeah, so we will advise on how to make the manuscript better.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You mentioned last year the twins won. Mm-hmm. Is it only one entry per writer that is allowed? Or, you know, in this case, the twins actually won.
You can collaborate. That's not a problem.
Okay.
Yes.
So you don't have a problem with
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
When are you going to decide on the judging panel and who makes up the judges?
We will decide in the middle of the year, around June or July.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think you have enough eligible people to be judges?
That is a problem, right? I mean, as the years go by, hopefully we won't have to, you know, use the same old, mm-hmm. Because it does happen. You know, I've been in so many judging panels, it's getting to be embarrassing because, first of all, there are so few people interested in reading and writing. And then to narrow the field further, children's writing, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, I think this year should be no problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So to conclude, Daphne, what would you like to, you know, say to anyone who's interested, 18 years and above, mm-hmm. to participate in the Callistro Prize?
Well, I would like to say just write the story you want to write. You know, don't be afraid that it's not suitable. Don't have all these other thoughts. You know, just write it, believe in it, pour your heart and soul in it, and then just sit back and hope for the best.
Is there a website?
There is a website. It's callistroprize.wordpress.com.
Okay. Email address?
Email callistroprize@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Mira.
Daphne Lee, who's a writer and editor, as well as the member of the organizing committee of the Callistro Prize on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.